me in your Bibles to the book of Philippians in chapter 3. Philippians in chapter 3. We'll be reading Philippians chapter 3, verses 1 through 11. We'll be focusing particularly on verses 7 through 11 as we think about the power of Christ's resurrection. But now we begin reading in Philippians chapter 3 at verse 1. Hear now the word of our God. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. For me to write the same things to you is not tedious, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the mutilation. For we are the circumcision, who worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I also might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so, circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ, and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Thus far the reading of God's holy word, let us pray. Our God, as we have heard You speak to us in Your Word, we ask that You would now work upon our hearts, that as we meditate upon these things, as we think about what it means to know Christ and the power of His resurrection, that You would bring a great joy to us in it, as we are reminded of that great and glorious gift that You have given to us in Him. And we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Well, as we gather together today to celebrate Easter, we do so to celebrate that great event in history, the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But what is the resurrection? Now, a simple answer to that is, it is when Jesus rose from the dead. It is when we celebrate that great victory over the grave that was accomplished. The grave could not hold Him. Satan had nothing in him. And he overcame sin and death and rose again. Or if we want to get a little more technical, we may answer the question, what is the resurrection, in this way? That it is Christ who is raised for our justification. Or that His resurrection shows forth the first fruits of a greater harvest, the guarantee of our own resurrection. That our own bodies, although they may be placed in the ground, will not remain there, but will be resurrected and will be reunited with our soul. And these are all correct answers. But if all you know of the resurrection is that it was Christ being raised from the dead, that it is a sign of what will come, if that is all you know, if you simply know about the resurrection, you're missing something. As we think about these passages today, I'm not simply concerned that you know about the resurrection of Christ. I am concerned and want you to know the power of Christ's resurrection. Do you know the power of Christ's resurrection? Many can say that they know what the resurrection is. Many can say that they know about the resurrection, but have little or maybe even no experience of the power of Christ's resurrection. And this should not be so, and especially in the life of a Christian. The Christian faith is not simply intellectual. Yes, it is based upon truth that we can know with our minds, but it is much deeper than that. It is not simply something that we know here, but it is something that we experience in ourselves. Paul understood this. Paul here tells us in verse 10 that he wants to know Him that is Christ and the power of His resurrection. Paul is writing here to the church in Philippi, and he's warning the believers there not to be led back into error. In verse 2 of chapter 3, he warns them, "Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the mutilation." That is, beware of those who want to see you circumcised in the flesh, who say that you have to keep the law in order to be saved. Paul reminds them in verse 3 that those who are the circumcision, those who are truly the people of God, those who worship God in spirit and who rejoice in Christ Jesus have no confidence in the flesh. Paul says that he formerly had confidence in his flesh. In fact, he says in verse 4 that he may have had that if anyone thinks that he has confidence in the flesh. I more so. He says he was circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee. He was, concerning zeal, zealous, persecuting the church. Concerning the righteousness which is in the law, he was blameless. Paul is looking back to his former life before he met the Lord Jesus on the road to Damascus, and he says, if anyone had a reason to boast in the flesh, I had a reason to boast in the flesh. But then Paul goes on, and he says, I count those things, all of those things that I had as loss. Now, why does he count them as loss? For Christ. Paul has met the risen Christ on the road to Damascus, and he understands that what he thought was his gain is now his loss because it has been replaced with something greater, the Lord Jesus Christ. He says nothing compares with gaining Christ. And Paul longs to know more and more of Christ and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship in His sufferings, in being conformed to His death. And Paul looks forward then in verse 11, if by any means he may obtain to the resurrection from the dead. Paul's writing this about 30 years from that first meeting with the Lord Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus. And in those 30 years, Paul has grown deeply in his relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul has experienced a powerful presence, the powerful presence of the risen Christ in his life. And he says, I want to know more of the power of His resurrection. Brothers and sisters, this power that Paul experienced in his life is not something that was only available to Paul. It is available to you and to me today. And we need to understand this power. We need to lay hold of this power. We need to delve in and to explore what Paul means when he says in verse 10, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. Don't you want to know the power of Christ's resurrection? We need to know that power. I'm convinced that if your life is to count for anything, It must be lived by the power of Christ's resurrection. If your life is to count for anything, it must be lived by the power of Christ's resurrection. And to live your life by the power of Christ's resurrection, you must do two things. First, you must desire to experience the power of Christ's resurrecting power. That's what Paul desired here. He desired to experience more and more of the power of Christ's resurrection. And secondly, you must then, as you desire that, strive to experience more and more of the power of Christ's resurrection. We see here Paul desiring to experience the power of Christ's resurrection. He says, I'm putting everything else away. My one desire is to gain Christ, to know Him. That's what we must do. You must put away every other desire. Every other desire must come second to this one great desire. Paul says in verse 7 of Philippians chapter 3, the things that were gained to me, all of those things that he lists, those things that were gained to me, I have counted loss for Christ. Paul understood that there was no power inherent in his own righteousness. Paul was on the fast track. He may have continued on in the Jewish religion and become the chief priest, but now he has recognized, as he tells Timothy in 1 Timothy in chapter 1, that he is not a chief priest, but he is the chief of sinners. He understands that all of his actions, everything that he had done, earned him nothing with God. And that is a dangerous trap that we all may fall into. Perhaps you were born into a Christian home. Perhaps you have attended Christian schools. You attend church faithfully. That is good. Those are all good things. That is a great advantage, to be born into a Christian home. But it can become a disadvantage if you trust in it instead of trusting in Christ. One commentator puts it this way: stepping stones will be turned into stumbling blocks if they are not used properly. Paul understood that he was trusting in his own righteousness, and now he counts it as loss compared to the righteousness of Christ. But he goes on in verse 8, not only is there no power in his own righteousness, but there is no power whatsoever in any of his resources. He says, indeed, in verse 8, I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. And indeed, Paul backed it up, didn't he? He said, not only do I count them as lost, but I have suffered the loss of all things. And I count them as rubbish. Why? That I may gain Christ. Paul uses this interesting word here, rubbish. It may mean dung, human refuse, or it may mean that which is to be tossed to the dogs, cast out, good for nothing. And Paul says, all of those things, as good as they looked to be before, they are nothing to me now, because I have seen Christ. He is all that I want. He is more than enough for me. And Paul stresses that here. Everything else is rubbish. Everything else is worthless. Paul is like a ship captain who is loaded down with goods, and yet he receives a call from his king who says, come and aid me. Come quickly. And Paul takes everything that is on that ship and he throws it off so that he might sail the course toward his king. And so Paul here demonstrates and understands that great truth that our Lord Jesus Christ tells us in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 26. He knows that it will profit a man nothing if he gains the whole world and loses his soul. Paul is not interested in gaining the world because Paul is interested in Christ. And the reality is, brothers and sisters, the harder that you cling to the things of this life, the harder it will be for you to fully enjoy Christ. Paul knew this. Jesus was everything to Paul. Jesus needs to be everything to you and to me. When you evaluate your life, what are you prizing right now in your life? What is it that you look to? Where is it that you find your satisfaction? Is it in the worthless things of the world that are no good but to be thrown out as rubbish, that are going to be left on the trash heap at the end of your life? Because everything else other than Christ is worthless. Christ needs to be your all in all. Count everything else as loss so that you might gain Him. That is what Paul is telling us here. Jesus is everything to Paul. And Paul is not going to let anything get in the way. Anything get in between him and his Lord. And that is what we must do as we desire to experience the power of Christ's resurrection. We must put that desire above every other desire. We must desire Christ alone. Christ must be our chief gain, as Paul says here. He says he counts everything as rubbish. Why? In order that I may gain Christ. Our life must be found in Him alone. In verse 9, that Paul would be found in Him, not having a righteousness which is from the law, which cannot save, but that which is through faith in Christ. That righteousness that comes from God, that is received through faith. That is where Paul finds his life. He finds it in Christ. And Paul desires in verse 10 to know Him and the power of His resurrection. Is that your desire? Well, if that is your desire, if you desire to know Him and the power of His resurrection, that is wonderful. But you cannot stop there. Not only must you desire to know Him and the power of His resurrection, but you must strive to experience the power of Christ's resurrection. Paul was desirous and he was striving to know this very thing. You must grow in this knowledge of Christ and this experience of the power of His resurrection. But growing in this experience is somewhat like walking. When you think back to when you learned to walk, who taught you to walk? Now, people may encourage you to walk, but no one necessarily sat you down and told you, put one foot in front of the other. No, you learned through experience. You stood up, and then you fell down. And then you stood up again, and you fell down, and over again, and now you know how to walk. Like walking, the experience of the power of Christ's resurrection is not something that I can teach you. It's not something that I can provide a manual for you to follow step by step. It is not something that is only going to be learned in your head, but it is something that you have to know and experience in your heart. At best, I can describe it to you and encourage you to strive after it. But you must strive to gain it. You must grow in your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul says in verse 10, that I may know Him. That I may know Him. Not know about Him, but know Him. This is a relationship. This is not knowledge about a person, but this is walking in relationship with a person, to be personally acquainted with him, to have an experience spending time with another person, to know him more and more. Paul wants Jesus to become the world to him. That ought to be our goal. We ought to strive to know Jesus, to experience more and more of him, that he might become our world. Now, how do we do this? Well, the way we do this is we become more and more like Christ. The more and more we become like Christ, the closer fellowship we will have with Christ. We do that as we come to worship. We don't come to worship without engaging our minds and our hearts. We don't come to the sacraments and do them out of rote. We don't come and do these things simply because we have always done them this way. We come and we do these things, brothers and sisters, because we desire to be closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. We desire to know Him. We meditate upon His Word. We pray. We especially sing to Him. All of these things will draw you closer to Christ. You will know Him more and more. And as you know Him, you will know the power of His resurrection. You will start to rely upon the power of His resurrection. This is the power that was at work in Paul. We read of that in 2 Corinthians in chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. Paul says, "For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give that light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us." Paul here reminds us that we are earthen vessels, that we don't have any power of ourselves, but that the power of Christ's resurrection is working in us. And Paul had to rely upon this power many times. He had to rely upon this power in suffering. Again in 2 Corinthians in chapter 4, continuing on in verse 8, Paul says that he's in a treasure in earthen vessels, that excellence of the power of God. And although he is hard-pressed on every side, he is not crushed. Although he is perplexed, he is not in despair. Although he is persecuted, he is not forsaken. Although he is struck down, he is not destroyed. Why? Why could Paul suffer so much and yet come through with joy, even in the midst of the suffering? It is because Paul knew the power of the resurrection of Christ. And that's why Paul, in Philippians and chapter 3 and verse 10, continues on. Not only that he may know Him and the power of His resurrection, but also the fellowship of His sufferings. Partnership with Christ in His sufferings. Paul suffered greatly. And yet he was able to do so because he knew the power of Christ's resurrection in his life. No one enjoys suffering. If it were up to us, we want the easy path to heaven. But the Bible is clear. The path to heaven is not easy. Paul in Acts 14, verse 22, as he ministers with Barnabas, says that we must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God. Psalm 34 says that many are the afflictions of the righteous. Our Lord Jesus Christ suffered. He suffered for the good of others. And we who are being conformed to His image, who are called to be like Him, must be willing to suffer for the good of others. But we do not have to concern ourselves with it, because God has provided all that we need. Again, Psalm 34, although it begins, "Many are the afflictions of the righteous," it ends in this way, "But the Lord delivers him out of them all." The Lord delivers him out of them all. And the way that God delivers us out of our suffering is by giving us the power, that power that is through Christ and His resurrection, to bear up under them. We must rely upon His power, the power of His resurrection, to endure suffering. We must also rely upon this power to resist sin. So Paul tells us in Romans and chapter 6. Romans chapter 6 in verse 4. "Therefore we were buried with Him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of His death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. We should no longer be slaves of sin. Why? Because our old man was crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be done away with. Brothers and sisters, the power of Christ's resurrection is the key. Paul understood this. He understood that in that great struggle against sin, we have an even greater power working in us that will enable us by God's grace to put those sins to death. To put them in the tomb, never to be seen again. And as you grow in your reliance upon the power of Christ's resurrection, you will necessarily grow in your hope in the power of Christ's resurrection. Paul stresses that hope. He says that as he knows Him, as he experiences the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, as he is conformed to His death in this life, he, if by any means, will attain to the resurrection from the dead. Now Paul here is not, by saying if by any means, expressing doubt that he will indeed attain to the resurrection of the dead, that resurrection on that day that Christ returns, that resurrection to life that is told of in John chapter 5, verse 29, when those who are destined for eternal life will hear His voice and be raised to newness of life. Now, Paul is humbly expressing the reality that he alone, apart from Christ, will never be able to attain it. He says, if by any means, and I know that I cannot provide the means, but the means come through Christ's power alone. But Paul understands, and you and I need to understand, that this hope is answered in glory. We will attain to the resurrection from the dead. We will attain to the newness of life that is found in Christ Jesus. And we have a testimony to that working in us right now. That power of Christ's resurrection. That when that power works in our heart, it ought to bring to us a great assurance of eternal life. Paul, in writing to the Philippians here, tells them that he had it all. He was a Hebrew of Hebrews. But Paul ran into the Lord Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus, and it turned his world upside down. So much so that everything that he held dear, everything that he was, he now sees as trash. Good for nothing, but to be thrown out to the dogs and devoured. Paul's one desire is to gain Christ, to know Him, and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings. It's one thing to know about the resurrection, to know that it happens. But it's another thing entirely to know the power of Christ's resurrection in your life. Do you know the power of Christ's resurrection? Not simply what is written on a page, something that you read about, but do you know it as a reality in your life? Do you want to experience the power of Christ's resurrection? Is that your one desire? If that is not your one desire, then I would ask you, why not? Why not? What is more important to you? What could be more important to you than gaining Christ, than knowing Him, than knowing the power of His resurrection? Why are you striving so hard to experience the worthless things of the world that are good for nothing but to be cast upon the trash heap of eternity. When before you is this great and glorious gift, knowing Christ and the power of His resurrection. Why aren't you striving to know Him? If your life is going to count for anything, you must strive to know the power of Christ's resurrection. Because your life must be lived by the power of Christ's resurrection. This needs to be your one desire. This needs to be the aim of your life. It was the aim of Paul's life. It was his chief desire. And he was willing to part with anything to attain it. I want to encourage you, as this day we gather together and think about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, to think about how it applies to you. Does it apply to you? Have you experienced the power of Christ's resurrection? Do you know Him? Do whatever it takes to gain Christ. Strive to know more and more of Him and more of the power of His resurrection. Because in doing so, you will never be disappointed. Amen. Let us pray. Our God and Father, we praise You and thank You that You have given us such a great gift of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we confess that we have failed to come and have failed to appropriate all to ourselves, all that is in Him. That we have not had that desire to experience the power of Christ's resurrection. That we have not strived to experience the power of Christ's resurrection. Oh, help us to do so. Help us to know You, to gain Christ, and that in Him we might attain to that great and glorious hope of life, of the resurrection from the dead. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.